Well, it's good to be here with all of you fine people this morning. I'm glad to be able to share God's Word with you. Of course, when I say fine people, that's about the best compliment you can hope for in a group of this size, because as they say, nobody is perfect. I know that some of you may think you're pretty good, but just look around. I'm sure you can find at least somebody who you could agree is at best fine. Maybe you're looking at that person right now. As people, we are imperfect beings that, even aside from infirmities and sickness, there is a lot that we can't do. We don't have perfect memories. We don't have perfectly logical thought processes. Not everybody has a perfect body. And it seems like you guys don't have much of a sense of humor. But we are imperfect people in many ways. If you just think about this world and your time in it, you'll realize that there's a lot of things that you can't do. Even your own senses, you can barely handle the input from. That right now, as you're sitting here or as you go through your day, there are many things that you see, that you feel, that you hear, that you smell, which you immediately ignore. Right now you're sitting in a chair, and probably until I mentioned it, you hardly noticed it was there at all. That you completely ignored that part of your sensation. You know, up until now you were breathing automatic. Now that I mention it and you start thinking about it, maybe you're breathing on manual mode. That you've had to take that over. Sorry for that. And, of course, for the feeling of your own tongue inside your mouth. Has it always been that big, or is that new? We are imperfect beings who deal with a lot, that we fall short in many ways. Even just in our daily lives, there are a lot of things that we can't handle, that we see so much, we ignore so much. And even what we pay attention to, a day from now, 2 days from now, much of it you will no longer remember. We know that eyewitness accounts are some of the least reliable ways of getting information about a crime scene. Much better to have fingerprints or video surveillance than to have an eyewitness-only account. That if you have just an eyewitness and you ask the questions in the wrong way, you can prompt them to get the answer that you would like. People will have some idea of what they remembered, and they'll gladly let you fill in the blanks and claim that, no, that is what I remembered. I know that for sure. I was there. I saw it. How could I not know? And so as we go through our lives, most of us take some type of shortcut. That we don't have the processing power to think through everything that we see and do every day, so we make assumptions. And you know what they say about assumptions? They say that they are a helpful way of dealing with a complex world and often correct, as I'm sure you probably know that saying. For instance, I assume, standing here before you today, looking at you out there in the crowd, I'm assuming that were I to walk to the back and turn around, you'd have clothes on the other side of you as well. That it's not just the side that's facing forwards that is clothed, but they wrap all the way around. I will demonstrate that here. I would hope that none of you would let me down in that matter today. If so, please remain seated for the duration of the service. We also are extremely good at, as people, of making and finding patterns. It's what lets us get through most of our day. That we can pick out, ah, yes, I remember this. Yes, yes, a chair, I know it. It matches what I imagine a chair would be. Or, I've had a day like this before. I go to work, come home from work, eat dinner, and go to sleep. I've done this before, and I don't have to think too much about it. That we have patterns of how we behave. So, many of you will have only one or two stores that you shop at. Where if you want groceries, you go to the same place each time. Then maybe at first it was a logical choice. That you tried out all the stores and you found what had the best selection, who had the best prices, where you were most likely to get the deals on the things that you want. And then most likely you just kind of stuck with it. Maybe for years and years. And so you have your gas station that you go to. You have your grocery store that you go to. Of the many, many restaurants in Grand Junction, I'm guessing most of you typically only go to 10 or less. Meaning if you're adventurous, you have 30 restaurants that you'd say, oh yeah, I go there. Maybe only one. Oh yeah, there's just one place I go. Really? Like, you like them a lot? No, I just mean that's the one place I go. If it's not Randy's Southside Diner, I'm not going there. So you can change your lunch plans around me. Thank you very much. We find patterns. And along with that, we have roles that we fit into. We have roles that we play throughout the day and throughout our life because it makes it easier for us. So as we go through even just a typical day, of course, you wake up in the morning and you're somewhat of a troll. You go to work and maybe you're an engineer or a mechanic for a few hours. You come home and the kids are home from school, so you're a parent for a few hours before bed. Then you finally get some time with your spouse and you get to be just a loving husband or loving wife for a couple of hours. And finally, you turn into a log for the duration of the night. Roles that we fit into. Roles that we have for ourselves. Roles that we really want other people to fit into as well. That when you call the fire department and they show up, you don't want to hear about their hobbies. Oh, that's very interesting on a chess club, huh? That's a pretty interesting thing. So you guys go to a lot of tournaments, and also, are you going to put out the fire? Because I just want to know you as a firefighter right now. When the fire is out, then we can talk. I'm sure you have an interesting life. You're a fully realized person. I understand that. But right now, just be a firefighter. Be a police officer when I need police. What you do on your spare time, that's fine, but for now, please fit into the role that I need. And we have the same thing for institutions, that we believe that different institutions are able to control their domain because it's just easier for us to think of them that way. So if you want to learn something, well, you're not going to do that at work. You're going to go to school to learn something. Then if you want to get food, you go to the grocery store. If you show up at work one day and they've stocked the shelves with food, unless you already work at a grocery store, and they say, just take some of this stuff home with you, you'd kind of wonder, like, what are we doing here? You are no longer fitting into the box that I had assigned for you. That if you want to go watch a movie, you can go to the movie theater. You used to be able to go to Blockbuster. May it rest in peace. Now if you want a DVD, you have to purchase it for yourself. Sad day we live in. Maybe you can get Netflix, but of course Netflix isn't going to have the movie you really want. It's maybe not even worth the $8 a month. If you want something, you have to find out what institution will fit that role. If you want to put new shoes on your horse, of course you go to... No, not a blacksmith, a farrier! A farrier, that's the shoes. The blacksmith makes the shoes. The farrier shoes the horse. The point of all this is the church as an institution has a role to play. That the church plays an important role in society today. And we're starting a new series this week. We're talking about the role of the church. We're going to talk about what we as Christians do within the church, how we serve, how God has equipped us to serve, how we know where to serve, what our focus is as a church in this world today. But I want to start with looking at what the church is. When you get right down to it, what is the church? Why does the church exist? What is the role of the church in today's society? Now I'm hoping, because if there's one thing I know about you, it's that you at least listen to sermons. And I'm hoping that also means you agree with much of what I'm going to say today. I'm sure there's some kind of term for giving a message to people who already agree with it. If so, that is what I'm going to do today. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking just at verse 9, which if you turn to Ephesians and you're looking through this chapter, verse 9 is actually somewhat of an aside. It's a little extra note that's put in there. In my Bible, at least, it's in parentheses. So you don't necessarily need to see the rest of the context. You don't need to know a lot about what's going on, because this is a little tidbit that Paul throws into his letter, which we're going to focus on today. We're going to expand on and see what the church does. Leading into it, he says this in verse 8, "Live as children of light. And then verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you that we can hear from your word today, and we ask that you would help us to know you more through it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The role of the church, the role of the church in today's world is first of all to promote what is good. To promote what is good. Now, of course, if you just saw that verse and you saw that I used the first consist of all goodness, you can probably at least guess at the rest of the outline here, but please don't skip ahead. Let me reveal it in my own time. First, promote what is good. The church is a moral institution. Unlike most of the rest of the relationships we have in the world, the church promotes what is good. It encourages moral and good living. If you're a child growing up, you may turn to your parents to find out what is right and what is wrong. They may be the ones who tell you, now, be a good kid, share. But as you grow older, even your parents stop being someone who primarily concerns themselves with promoting morality. We do not find this anywhere else in society on a regular basis. For those who do not attend church, there's no one saying, be a good person. There may be times when you are called on to do something good that society calls on you to do your part. They might say, you know, there was a disaster. We need everyone to chip in a little bit to take care of this. But where do you go to hear someone say, love your wife, or do not envy? It is not the police. The law is no substitution. There's no way that law can take the place of morality. Oftentimes, there are things that are illegal, which are, strictly speaking, not immoral. And there are things that are immoral, which are not illegal. If the police show up to your house and put you in handcuffs, you would not expect them to say, you've been somewhat covetous lately. We know you haven't acted on this in any way, you haven't deprived anyone of their stuff, but you've wanted their stuff, and it's not yours. So that's going to be 30 days. The church has a unique place in promoting what is good. In the church, we are moral realists. We don't believe that what is good and what is evil is determined just by society, that if enough of us get together and agree on something, we can say, well, that's immoral to do from now on. We all agreed. At least 51% of us have said so. But we believe there are truths about morality, about good and evil, right and wrong. That you wouldn't go to your HOA to determine what is good morally. Hopefully, they would agree with you, but if not, or maybe if you just know your HOA, would you want that risk? That they could determine morality by how visible your trash can is or how well your yard is kept? The church promotes what is good. Not television, not advertising, often not friends and family, but the church will encourage you to do what is right, to do what is good. The church promotes what is good, but it also promotes what is holy. Verse 9 uses the phrase righteousness, and I know it threw you off that there was an H on the bulletin, but it promotes what is holy. That we live in a spiritual world, that as opposed to what others may say, we do not embrace materialism and naturalism as the truth about this world. But we believe that there is a spiritual reality as well. We believe that not only do we live this life, but that we are different from the animals and that we have souls. That what sets us apart is not a difference in biology, but a difference in spirituality. That as people, we are spiritual beings in a world of spiritual beings. That there is a truth to that. That there is a reality that is not accepted by everyone. One of the biggest difficulties of atheism, and especially atheism that embraces just a material understanding of the world, that everything comes down to just how the atoms are arranged at this time, is that the vast majority of people from the vast majority of time have accepted a spiritual reality. That they've accepted that there is something greater than ourselves, and the church promotes that as well. That you are not just your body, but that you are eternal. That the church takes the same approach as was taken at Athens, proclaiming, you say you worship the unknown God. That is great. There is a spirituality there. And there are people today who are not here in this building, who do not agree with Christianity or the church necessarily, but that they consider themselves spiritual people. That they have embraced a spirituality in their life. Perhaps they've embraced an idea of karma, of just do enough good to outweigh your bad. Maybe they've embraced spiritual crystals or artifacts in their life that they say, this is the thing that brings good into my life, that affects me. But the church can embrace those people and say, you will not be shunned here because you believe in the spiritual. But we go beyond just a belief in the spiritual and we promote what is holy. That not only is there a spiritual reality, but there is a God. One who is other. That we should be drawn to. That as we live our lives, we should be conformed to be more and more like that one God. That the Holy Spirit lives with us and encourages us, transforms us. The church promotes what is good. And it promotes what is holy. Our spiritual lives. That we really do believe there is something special about humanity. That our spirits do cry out within us. We don't embrace every spiritual belief, but we embrace the reality of spiritual things. We believe in eternity. We believe in our enduring nature. The church exists today to promote what is good and also to promote what is holy. And then finally, the church exists to promote what is true. That it promotes what is true because it is not enough to merely be a moral cheerleader of the day. It is not enough to only say, if you come to church, we will encourage you, love your wife, love your children, do not envy, do not boast. It is not enough even to say, we accept that there are spiritual things going on in this world and you are free to follow your own path. It is not enough to say that we embrace whatever morality, and we would encourage you in that. We embrace any spirituality, we would encourage you in that. Because the church goes a step farther and promotes what is true. We promote what is true. We believe that in all the world we have received the truth. That this book, the Word of God, contains truth. And because of that belief, certain things are non-negotiable. That there are things that we cannot compromise on because to do so would be to abandon this truth. And yes, I understand that the different groups of Christians interpret the Bible in somewhat different ways. That there may be disagreement on some elements. But the ultimate truth of Christianity, the ultimate truth that we believe here, starts with God. That there is a God who created this world. and that this is true. That He created man in His own image, separate from the beast, as I have already mentioned, because men were given souls. They are eternal and spiritual beings. That after creation, men fell into sin, and because of that, no one can meet the requirements of holiness. That there is a terrible curse on this world because of it. Most importantly, we believe in the truth of one man, that Jesus Christ came, born as a man 2,000 years ago, not just a man, but God in flesh. That we will not compromise on this, that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, that He did what none of us could do on our own, that at the end of that life He was betrayed, that He was crucified, He was put to death, and that His death was not just the physical death of a man, something that most everyone has faced so far, that we will almost certainly face sometime. But more than that, that it was the taking on of our sins, the bearing of the punishment that we deserved, that He became a curse so that we could avoid the curse. That He became sin who knew no sin. And this is true. That after Christ died, He did not stay dead, but He rose again. That He brought Himself back to life, and He spoke to the people of His day, that many witnessed Him again alive, and that He ascended into heaven. That in His resurrection, we saw the promise of life that we have access to because of His work. That because of the work of Christ, we have access to a holy God that we could otherwise never know. And we will not compromise on that. Yes, the church exists to promote morality, to promote what is good. Yes, the church is here to embrace spirituality, that which is other, which is apart from just this material world. But the church exists to promote the truth, that there is one way and one way only that we can live. That though you die, you can have the same life that Christ has. That we can join Him in eternity. Where the first two roles are not controversial, the third makes all the difference. It is my hope, it is my sincere desire that we would be known as Christians who are good people. That people would say, you know, I don't agree with that church and everything they believe in, but man, it's good to have those people as neighbors. They're just good people. And it is my hope that people would see the church as their source of spirituality, that they would see the church as the place to turn to when they question what else is out there. That they would not turn to nihilism and say, well, we'll all die and it'll all pass away and that's it, we're done. But that when they question what the future holds and what eternity may look like, that they would come to the church. But most importantly, that the church would be an institution that promotes truth. That we would be people who promote truth. That we would do so in love, that we would do so effectively in society today, but that we would stick to the truth that we know. The truth of this gospel message. As society is changing, as the world advances, what will be the role of the church in the future? How will Christians stand? What will the church do in the years to come? Will the church end up being an organization like Farriers, like Blockbuster, that has its time and has passed away? Or, as I hope, will the church be a group of people so committed to truth, so committed to living changed lives, that whatever this society goes through, Whatever happens here in the United States or around the world, the church would stand. The church would be like the supermarket. That it would be like the water company. That it would be a source of life to society. That people would continuously look at the church and say, these are people who hold to the truth. These are people who want to grant life to people, no matter their situation. That we would be known as people who will love you and love you and love you to life. That we will love you to the point where you are gathered in with us, that you are embraced by us, but that we do not back down from the truth. As we go through the coming weeks and we talk about our specific roles in the church today, the work that we must do and how we must do it, remember this foundation. Promoting what is good, promoting what is holy, promoting what is true. That the work of the church, the work that we do, is wrapped up in those ideas. That we have the truth and we must share it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you that you are a God who appeals to our spirits, who reaches out to us and encourages us, that through your work we can come to know you. Lord, help us to know and proclaim your truth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.